sai che sola non ti lascio mai. Sei le mie gioie e tutti i miei guai. Io amo l'Inter.
Welcome, brothers of the world. Ciao. Hello. Bonjour. Hola. Guten Tag. This is the official Inter podcast in English.
Di quel 22 maggio che gridai come un pazzo sia ad ogni gol e non so.
Welcome back, and as I've said again, this is the official Inter podcast in English, and I am your host as always, Richard Hall, and I'm going to take you through some fantastic games today. We're going to have a little bit of a different take on our podcast today, and I'll run through that with you. But first of all, we've got so much to talk about. Where do we start with the Supercoppa? I've got to touch on that. I've got to touch on the game against Fiorentina. Absolutely. And we might have a little game on our hands coming up. The Derby d'Italia, of course, we take on Juventus. So, in a minute, I am going to take you through the, I would say, not new look, but very familiar. Familiar is the right word. Look to this podcast with a little twist. Okay, well, let's think about this. Let's talk about what's happened. There's so much here, it's difficult to start. Hence, we needed a plan. So, okay, we're looking, of course, we're going to preview for the start, of course, what you're all waiting for. We're going to preview the game Inter versus Juventus. Now, of course, no lineups out as yet at time of recording, so we are going to be looking around a little bit to find out what we think, and obviously the main jewels that we're going to see in that game. Obviously touching base over the last games of the weekend and how that's affected and made this game such a huge one. And we always like the Derby d'Italia, but especially when there's a lot riding on it, and there certainly is today. We're also going to have a look back in honour of the game at San Siro, which will be held this weekend on Sunday. We're going to be looking at a classic game. And this time, I'm going to take you back to 1992. Yes, it's memories that I actually have. That proves again how old I'm getting. But yeah, this was a great game with some absolutely brilliant players in. And spoiler alert, it was a good day for Inter. Would I have it any other way? And then to finish off with, of course, I have a little bit of a twist again here. Now what we're going to do is a segment called This Week with Inter, or Magic Inter Moments. Tell me what you want to call it. I don't call it it. Don't worry there. Just obviously hit me up at RichHall80, or hit the, of course, any of the Inter socials up, and let us know exactly if you'd like to name this part of the show. This is an anniversary part today. We're looking at the date February the 1st, and it will be a game in heavy, heavy snow in San Siro versus Palermo in 2012. And a certain Diego Milito does something pretty special, I can tell you. I wonder if your memory serves you well enough to get exactly what that score was and exactly why we're talking about Il Principe. Okay, so without further ado, let's hit the preview button. Okay, Inter versus Juventus. Well, we can't talk about that game without talking a little bit about what's happened in the previous weeks. Obviously, Inter were incredible in the Supercoppa. Obviously, out in Riyadh, the decimation of Lazio was something to behold. I think even Maurizio Sarri was wowed by the pace and power of Inter. We literally threw them aside, and then we got to play against, obviously, Napoli in the final. And thanks to Il Capitano, and, well, just thanks to Lautaro. What a way to win that. And Inter, you know, look, it's been a special time. The Supercoppa was a brilliant tournament to watch, and we enjoyed it. I'm sure you did. I know I did. I think what it showed is that Inter have got just such power and pace, especially when it comes to the counter attack. And I think that, you know, when you look at, was the game against Napoli spectacular? No, I can't say it was. But what I think you saw in those two games was the fact that Inter can play in two different ways. Obviously, when things are difficult, they can, you know, they can obviously get down and really try to force a way through. And when you look at it, it was more. I mean, everyone keeps saying it's not easy. That's true. But was it dominant? Well, if we look at some statistics, I'd say yes, it was. We had 22 shots on goal and 6 on target. Napoli, 6 shots and 1 on target. And we dominated possession with 65%. And obviously, they had 35% in that case. We also had 603 passes, of which the accuracy was 89% compared to 329 from Napoli, 76%. So I'd say that that really, really does go some way to show that even in a tricky game, Inter can still be completely dominant. And the same was for the Lazio game, of course. You know, 23 shots to 5, 7 on target to 0 for Lazio. Something that they followed up again by having another awful display against Napoli on the weekend. And yeah, look, the possession was 62%. So that's just a bit of a statistical roundup. And then obviously, on the back of that, to win that gave huge, huge confidence because we knew that Juventus were creeping back to the top of that Serie A table. And even with Inter, of course, having games in hand, the confidence that that gave our side certainly resonated. And we had to obviously then go to the Stadio Termino Franchi. Not an easy place to go, especially with Italiano there. And, you know, look, we had a situation where, you know, this was a game where it pretty much was must win. You know, if we want to win the Scudetto, which we show really, really a good chance of doing, we had to do that. There's no question. Absolutely no question. And we're in a very changed kit, we must say. The orange kit, I mean, Damian was saying now it's almost like a lucky colour, he was saying after the game, which is good to see. Obviously, the players seem to like it. They've taken it to heart, which is great. I quite like it as well. And yeah, again, who are we relying on to win this game? It's Lautaro Martinez, our big game player. We've got to say, though, this squad, when we look at it against what was a very difficult game in the Franchi, let's not understate how good Fiorentina were. Zola was excellent on the right hand side and gave us a bit of trouble. They had more shots than us, although we both had the same amount of targets, and they had more possession. And when you consider what we've just been talking about in the last two games before that, you can see that this was a game where Inter had to really change the squad around. None more so when you look into the midfield. Obviously, we had Darmian on the right-hand side. Obviously, the midfield was made up of Mkhitaryan, Salni, Fratesi, Carlos Augusto. You know, but when you look, that back line of Bastoni, De Vrij and Pavard, and obviously, we're going to talk about the hero of the hour, Jan Sommer, all coming to the fore. And the way that they absorbed the pressure was excellent. That goal, I mean, well played. I mean, we've got to say Carlos Augusto is fantastic. Al Salni as well, heavily praised by Inzaghi afterwards. And yeah, you know, look, we played exceptionally well. And there we go, 1-0, thanks to Lautaro Martinez. And now look, guys and girls, I think Jan Sommer got the ball. I'm not saying that because I present the Inter podcast. I would say if I didn't think so. I personally thought he got the ball first when it went to VAR. I didn't think it was going to be a penalty. It was, as we know. And yeah, look, what happened afterwards will be remembered by Inter fans. And I'm sure that Fiorentina fans will be wanting to forget Nicolas Gonzalez's penalty. He tried to do the eyes, as they say, looking right under the cover of Fazzole. Lots of pressure on him, lots of pressure on Sommer. Sommer waits. He goes down, he saves a penalty. It was a weak penalty in the end, but it still needed saving. And Inter win 1-0, which takes us now into the Derby d'Italia against Juventus. And a win here for Inter would seriously increase the likes of us getting on a good run for the title. So just to remind you, Juventus on 22 games played with 53 points. Inter on 21 games played. 54 points. So obviously a win would leave us another 3 points on top of that, which would be fantastic to be 4 points clear of Juventus on the same games, especially with us having Roma, who've won the last two under Daniele De Rossi. So that's the game we will be playing after that. So tough for Inter at the moment, but we are battling through. Not just battling through, we are swathing through. We are cavalier in our way that we are knocking down this opposition, whether it's with swagger and balance and poise and like a fencer, or whether we are having to slug it out like a boxer. We are able to do the both, and that's great. So one thing as well, just before we leave that, the form of Lautaro is excellent because he now is on, he's equaled Mario Icardi's record in the Inter goal scoring all time. Great, and you know what? He deserves to be there. He certainly does. Look, I mean, these games against Juventus are always difficult, and you know, we've had a long history with them. You know, let's just touch on a couple of highlights for us. And even my age won't take me all the way back to this, of course. In fact, none of these results do, but this is probably before quite a lot of our times. But let's just talk about some of them. There was 6-1 to Inter, of course, November 1911. 6-3, 1913. You can go all the way through. Let's talk about another six. We've got one in 1935, 6-0. Inter 6-0, Juventus 1954. And the most recent heavy defeat we inflicted on was 4-0 in 1984. Been close ever since then. Obviously still, you know, still taking them on at their own game, stopping them winning titles as much as possible and winning them ourselves this season, we hope. Looking at some of the top scorers there, Giuseppe Meazza scored the most goals along with Roberto Bensinha, with 12 goals in this, along with Amore Sivori for Juventus. But Giuseppe Meazza, of course, up there. So we've got lots of things to look forward to. Inter, I mean, look, what lineup we're going to see, we don't know. We're hoping that the likes of Hakan Çalhanoğlu, easy for me to say, will, you know, obviously be able to give a bit of a boost. Nicola Barella, of course, we know his ability to just consistently run with the ball. He's got everything, hasn't he? He's got technique, he's got stamina, he's got everything. And I think when we look in the overall battles, if we start, you know, you look at Jan Sommer in comparison to Szczesny, Szczesny's in decent form, even though his kicking was a bit poor against Empoli in that 1-1 draw for Juventus. Jan Sommer is just at the moment flying high. There was a nervy kick at the start of Fiorentina, but that's just first, second nerves. And after that, he was completely in control of his box. The back three, whoever that ends up being, whether that's Acerbi, whether it's, you know, look, I think it's probably going to be Pavard and Bastoni, but we'll see. Again, like we reinforced, we have no idea of the teams at this point. That will be really, really interesting. Midfield will be a good battle, especially as the players I've mentioned being back. Up against the likes of Rabiot, he looks like Chiesa potentially could be back. Obviously, Yilmaz, there's, you know, Juventus will try and stunt Inter, in my belief. Well, I mean, commenters again, you know, to us, do you think that's the way they will look at it, to try and stunt our midfield? I think potentially they will. You know, Rabiot's developed well this season for the Bianconeri, so he's certainly someone to watch out for. And I think it could be quite physical in there. However, if it is to be Dumfries and Di Marco, their top assist in that position, from a defensive position, is, you know, very deadly. It allows us to operate in whichever way we want, really. Obviously, you know, we have the ability to counter-attack. So if you are seeing Inter sitting deep in part of this game, don't worry, of course. We've seen the way we can attack with the speed of the wide players. And, of course, Marcus Thuram and Lautaro Martinez makes us forever a danger. So, you know, look, it's certainly one where we will be excited to watch. And hopefully if Inter can get a win here, it will do a lot towards us getting that Scudetto, that very, very sought for Scudetto. So, listen, if by the time this comes out, the game will not be afoot yet, please, you know, tweet our social media pages. My own personal one is at RichHall80. Obviously, Inter have Inter in English, Inter in many different languages, and all of them the official Inter channels. Please predict your score lines on there and tag in the Inter podcast in English and the official Inter podcast in English with a hashtag, and that would be fantastic. Otherwise, please as well, like we'll always ask you, and I'll ask you in the middle of the show for no reason whatsoever, but if you can, give us any ratings on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast from. that would be appreciated, because of course it helps us keep this going. And of course, maybe if you help me, I can help you, and maybe we can get some guests on here and I can convince the powers that be of letting me loose, talking to some, either whether it's ex-players, people in the club, and yeah, giving you a better experience and learning more about what goes on inside Inter. Okay, I have, as promised, two incredible games for you. We're going to start back in 1992 after this. Okay, so, wow. This is my era. I'm getting right back into this. The nostalgia is literally waving over me as we speak. And it's obviously the 1992-1993 interseason. Chairman Pellegrini had made sure that Osvaldo Bagnoli was coach. We would finish second this season. We would finish in the quarterfinals of Coppa Italia. And Ruben Sosa would finish our top scorer. Talking of away kits, we had a very, very cool yellow third kit here. We like bright colours for our third kits, don't we? So yeah, few comments on the players in the squad that season. Walter Zenger, obviously, this still sort of oozes the late 80s as well. Some of the players I absolutely loved to, well, adored all these teams. But Zenger, Bergami, Riccardo Ferri, Luigi D'Agostini, Paganin, very good player of this season, along with the likes of Matthias Sammer, a new German, but none of the old ones were still left around. Matthias Sammer was in the squad. We had Alessandro Bianchi, very influential player, and should be talked about more. Nicola Berti, Davide Fontalan, injuries aside. Igor Shalimov, and then up front, we had very, very, what looked like at the time, a really hopeful chance to have a real lot of goals with Ruben Sosa, Salvatore Scalacci, Toto, and Darko Panchev up front. So, just going into this game, we're looking, it's early on in the season. This was October the 25th, 1992. And Inter had started the season in unconvincing form. 2-1 Udinese had beaten us at home. But we got on a bit of a run then, beating Cagliari and Napoli, drawing with Fiorentina and beating Atalanta before, unfortunately, we were heavily beaten 4-1 by Roma in the Olimpico. So then it comes to San Siro and here we go. And this game in itself, huge atmosphere, always is. And it was like, I mean, the curva is absolutely rocking here. You know, Juventus have come with a squad that, how can we say, it's, they had the likes of Peruzzi, Jürgen Kohler was still playing there, Julio Cesar, not that one, the other one, Dino Baggio, Conte, Moller, David Platt, for you English guys out there, along with that front line, which involves like Viali, Baggio, Di Canio, Ravinelli and Casiraghi. So a friend who were dangerous, of course. Their season was a lot better. I'm going to say that's actually wrong. They dropped points as well because they'd drawn four games against like Brescia, Roma, Genoa and Cagliari, in reverse order, sorry, and beaten Atalanta and Napoli in the process before they came to San Siro. Anyway, the game was quite well dominated by Inter at the first part of it. And the first goal would go to Ruben Sosa. And this was fantastic. I mean, listen, go on to where you get your videos from and look at this, because this was Matthias Sammer with the great long ball down. Sosa stops that ball in on the left-hand side of the 18-yard box, underneath the Curva Nord. He puts a small ball in and makes his run. Toto Scalacci, literally, this was like one touch football, a little touch. It brings him down now, bearing down on Peruzzi. Peruzzi comes out, tries to make himself big, outside of the foot from Sosa. 1-0 Inter. Egol, Sosa. He goes and celebrates under the Curva Nord, and all is good with the world. Okay, moving swiftly on. That was on 38 minutes. By the time the Inter faithful had stopped celebrating, and it didn't take long, here we have Toto Scalacci being key again. Bianchi mentioned him before, plays a long ball in. Toto chests the ball down. It bounces down and in comes Sammer. He hits it with some ferocity. Goes to the, and this is under the Curva Nord again. It goes into the right-hand side if you're looking at the camera. He goes down to the bottom right of Peruzzi's left. Peruzzi goes down, he gets a hand on it, it rolls into the post and comes in. Could Peruzzi have done better? Potentially. Who cares? Matias Sammy, it's 2-0 to Inter. And they go into the half-time, a happy camp. And Inter's dominance pretty much carried on with this game. Of course, Inter and Juventus had chances. But on the 80th minute, Igor Shalimov, as the ball comes through, it's onto the right-hand side, and he brings the ball down with super control. He brings it inside of Jürgen Kohler. And as he brings it, he touches the right foot onto the left foot and blasts that down. Again, it's Peruzzi going left. He has no chance. And Inter are now 3-0 up, and the game is almost done. It's true that Juventus did score a poorly misjudged header in the Inter defence, bounced out to about 25 yards for Andreas Moller, who you didn't let hit a ball in those situations. Nothing the goalkeeper could do about this one as it whistled past. And Inter would carry on then. Obviously, like we said, they would finish second this season. And yeah, it was one of those games that I remember just because everyone remembers. You remember Ruben Sosa with those white straps around his ankles? He would go on to have a wonderful season. Inter would then carry on there the game after a 4-1 win away in Pescara after that, before drawing with Sampdoria. And then 1-1 in the Milan derby. Fantastic game. And one we remember, and let's hope that we can have some more of that this weekend when Inter, of course, have another excellent game coming up in the Derby d'Italia. Okay, so that's Inter Juventus. As I said, predict your scorelines. And also as well, you know, if we've got big games coming up, just for your information, the Inter podcast will be with you now fortnightly. I can give you some confirmation, but more about that later. So if you're looking at the games we're coming up, I'll give you some hints later of what we'll be covering. And then maybe you can send me some questions. That would be amazing. I will actually put that out on my Twitter handle at RichHort80, and then you guys can hit me up with questions and I will mention you guys, and yeah, I'll give you an idea of what we're doing on the next show, and you guys can then help me make this show more interactive, which would be fantastic. Okay, now one of the things I wanted to start to do on the show is anniversaries of certain people or birthdays or games. And on February the 1st, 2012, I was at San Siro. I wish I'd been at this game. I missed it just. I was there very recently beforehand. It was, what a game. Inter 4, Palermo 4, in what was one of the most ludicrous games ever. But then why are we celebrating this? Because why not? If I've got a choice to talk about the Principe, I'm going to talk about him. And he scores 4 goals in this game. So how do I not talk about this? I mean, that's something to be remembered. Again, get yourself on those highlights. It's a brilliant game to watch. Okay, we didn't come out on top, unfortunately, in this. But at the same point, look, you've got to just enjoy this game. It's incredible because with Inter, you know, we always see one of these crazy, crazy, crazy matches every so often. I'm sure someone's called us crazy before, potentially. and Inter, yeah, look, in this was a game where we'll put some backstory to this, okay? So, you know, we're looking at the situation where we've got a massively entertaining game about to take place. Palermo at the time, now we need to remember their squad, because this was a squad that involved people, if you can remember, like Miccoli. Miccoli was, what a player. And he's going to show you why in this game as well. Inter's squad was, okay, we're still sort of labouring away after the treble, and you know, we're probably not at our absolute best, but let me give you a bit of a backdrop to this, because Obviously, Palermo had a wonderful team. There's no question about that. So we'll talk about our team first, but we'll just quickly just touch base on that Palermo team of what we're up against. And this is why we can actually understand why we conceded four goals. Okay, so Palermo 2011, 2012. There's enough to write a book on this team. I mean, it was just crazy, crazy, crazy. When you look at the squad itself, the likes of, Viviano, Munoz, we can go Balzaretti, obviously, you know, World Cup, this unbelievable squad. Franco Vasquez, remember him? Josip Iličić, Mikuli Hernandez. It wasn't the key, amazing Palermo team, but it still was fantastic. And Inter. So Inter, how have we gone into this game? Okay, so we'd had a pretty good run. From December 13th in 2011, we'd beaten Genoa, Cagliari, Siena. We'd unfortunately lost at home to Udinese before beating Fiorentina, Cesena, Parma. That's the game I was at, 5-0. Oh, that was incredible. An incredible, incredible game. And wow, that was a heck of an encounter. And then obviously the next one I was at as well, which was Inter 1 and Milan 0. I wanted to stay for the Lazio game. I didn't, and I made mistakes because we definitely should have stayed for that one. They won 2-1 before we lost to Lecce. So it was interesting then going into this game. Now, one thing we'll remember, okay, it wasn't the greatest attendance. It was only 18,000 in San Siro. They made some noise though still, I tell you. And there was a lot of snow. So into the game we go. It was certainly a game that's... I wouldn't say live in infamy as such, but well, technically it has because we're talking about it now, but all for the wrong reasons. But there was half the reasons with Milito were correct. So look, this game, let's take it for what it is. The conditions are diabolical. The snow has come in. No one wants to even go in to watch this game in the stands because it's so cold, but Inter take on Palermo. And look, you know, I mean, it's incredible because the first goal of the game goes to Palermo Mantovani. There's a flick on header from a corner. It's impossible to see anything in this game anyway, and it's a close range finish, 1-0 Palermo. But that sort of gets Inter's backs up, as we'd say in England. It's sort of a poke the bear, for another term. So look, then 22 minutes, a long ball sees Pazzini put the ball across, and it bounces into a position underneath the Curva Nord where Milito is just going to strike it past Viviano, strike it past the goalkeeper, no problems whatsoever. He's typical Milito goal. It's probably 8 to 10 yards out, drags it across the goalkeeper. Uno, and Inter are back on track. And right then and there, as the team's going to half time, you're thinking, okay, no big deal here, it's 1-1. Snow, etc., etc. But the second half becomes mental. It's crazy. Pazza. Just nuts. And look, you know, I mean, we have a situation where Mikuli on the 52nd minute goes on what you would call a mesmerizing individual goal where he shimmies in and outside of some defenders before dragging the ball into the right hand side under the Curva Nord past Julio Cesar. 2-1, great goal. Can't argue with it. But 3 minutes later, Nagatomo goes down, Inter grab a penalty, and Milito hits this home with power. It stays hit. It's so powerful, it threatened to break the net. It was that powerful, and it was a fantastic strike, which got everyone back in the game. But only 6 minutes later, another ball comes through, deflected, and Milito is 1-on-1, and he rounds the goalkeeper and puts it away. And all of a sudden, that is his hat-trick on the 61st minute. But before Inter have chance to sort of even think about anything, it's Mikuli again. He scores with what can be called almost like a trip towards a flying header. And it's a brilliant goal from Mikuli, and we have to credit Mikuli's hat-trick on this. That's his second goal of the game. And all of a sudden, everyone's thinking, what? Just... what is going on here? What is going on? But, you know what? I'm telling you a lie. That was on the 66th minute. This is how crazy this game is. It's still crazy now for me to read it. Sorry, I have made a mistake. My hands are up. I'm apologetic. I forgot to tell you that on the 65th minute, and I've only watched this game about five times before talking to you, and it's still messing with my head. On the on the 65th minute, it was Pazzini who missed the ball in. He sort of scuffs it. And Milito then scores his fourth on the 65th minute. Before then, Mikkeli scores his hat-trick on the 66th. I've already described it. And brilliant header. And that takes us to a situation where Inter are leading 4-3. And then, unfortunately for Inter, Mikkeli, on pretty much a repeat of his first goal in the 52nd minute, he goes on another mesmerising run and scores a copycat goal and makes it 4-4. I am tired now from doing that. That has pretty much done me. And that is a crazy game of football that Inter go through. And once again, it's... Yeah, listen, we have to celebrate moments in football, and it doesn't always have to be a situation where Inter are the victors, where, although we do like that, and fortunately, because it's Inter, we do get a chance to do that more often than not. So that is something which we can certainly have a bit of appreciation with, and a bit of thanks. And we have to say, wow, you know, and celebrate the moments, even sometimes when we draw. And there are great individual performances, because it shows that even when Inter sometimes aren't at the top of the game, we still have players who will absolutely pull out all the stops to give us moments like this. So that is almost the end of this podcast. And I just want to thank everyone for listening. And listen, we have the few things to talk about just before we go. Obviously, as I said, please, if you like the show, in all seriousness, you can like us on Spotify, and that would be fantastic. Just to see if you can give us a rating, that would be brilliant. So we'll be back week commencing the 5th of February, where I will be looking back, of course, on the games that have gone, but previewing the game against Roma. Away in the Olimpico, I'll be looking at a classic game where Inter win 4-0 in the Stadio Olimpico back in 2008. And I'll be looking back and celebrating Beppe Baresi, his birthday as well. So if you've got any memories about that Inter 4-0 win in 2008, if you want to add any comments about how you think it's going to go against Roma in the Olimpico, or you've got anything amazing to say about one of our great players, Beppe Baresi, Giuseppe Baresi, please hit us up on social media, as I mentioned. Also, I will have a little special announcement, because I'm hoping by then, we've recorded already, that on Inter TV, and I'll tell you exactly where you can watch this if you so choose, that Gaia Cotter and myself will be looking at the International Corner, of which I am very happy to co-host with Gaia. And that will be something brand new for you, and I will tell you where and when you can watch it. So, without further ado, I bid you farewell. Good luck for the derby. I hope you enjoy it wherever you're watching it. From me, it's ciao for now. Noi siamo l'Inter, tutti insieme urliamo, Inter Milano.